Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning and welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. My name's Kelvin Pittman. I'm one of the members here, and it falls to me to lead and preach today. So if anything goes wrong, it's all my fault. We've got a few notices. Firstly, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow night at 8 o'clock here. This is a monthly prayer meeting that we have on a very regular basis. And it's very good at this time with the various plans and Christmas coming up and now Minister Richard and his situation to spend some time in prayer. So please, if you possibly can you put it in your diaries to come along here at 8 o'clock tomorrow evening. A couple of other things. Richard's son, Jonathan Littledale, works for a charity called the Christie NHS Foundation Trust. And he will be holding an evening of hope with words and song on Friday the 12th of January. There's notices outside if you want all the details. You probably got one as you came in, but if you didn't, pick one up. And then finally, we're entering the Christmas season, believe it or not. We've got our candles here all ready to be lit in a minute. And all the various different activities over the next few weeks are on this little card here, which again you can pick up in the foyer area and take home with you, and maybe give to neighbours as well. Just if you think somebody might be interested in coming, take one and give it to them. And just one more notice. We've just heard that Minnie Bosley is in the RBH undergoing some tests of some sort. Don't know any more than that. But I just thought it would be good at this point just to sort of pray quickly for her. So if we just bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Minnie. We understand she's gone into hospital for some tests. We don't know any more than that, Lord. But we just pray that you be with her and with her family at this time. And that those tests all prove to be negative and that she turns out to be absolutely fine, Lord. So we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so now it's time to light the first of our Advent candles, and Mike's going to come and do us the honours. I always worry that one of them is going to run out before the end of the 4 weeks, but they never do. Well done, Mike. Thank you. Round of applause. Oh. just hope it stays alight. Yeah, that's it. It's got going now. Some of you might know that there's cricket going on at the moment, and the news wasn't so brilliant this morning, but I've got a little prayer book here called Favourite Prayers, and I just happened to come across one that is a favourite prayer of Mike Brearley, who, as many of you probably know, was a former captain of the English cricket team. It also happens to be one I learnt when I was at school. And many of you might well have learnt it as well. I think it's known as the General Confession. And I think it's always good to start a service with coming before the Lord and maybe sort of offering up our concerns for the things that perhaps we have done and shouldn't have done, or things we shouldn't have done. So just let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we've erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promise declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And since it's the first week in Advent, I thought it would be good to start with an Advent song. So our first one is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Please stand.
It's
fleece it down. That was shorter than I thought it was going to be. The Marguerite and the children have got a little something for us this morning. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I'm sure it's going to be great. So I'm just going to take a back seat for a while.
Well, lots of you don't go out to Chatterbox and you have no idea what we do. This term, we've learnt a lot about Moses and how he took God's people out of Egypt away from a nasty king. He kept them safe. And we also learnt that the people ate a meal before they went, and they ate it as a family. And we learnt about families. We might be in a family where there's people who care for us. We might be in the preschool family or the nursery family or a school family. Or the older ones might even be in a college family or work family. We learnt that we were in Newbury Baptist Church and Chatterbox family. But most importantly, what family did we learn we were in?
Jesus family.
The Jesus family. We are in the Jesus family. And our intercessions today are about being in a family. Now, we know we can talk to God at any time, anywhere, and we do it in different ways. Now, if you came to upstairs, Chatterbox, you might wonder what we were doing sometimes when we were praying. We might just say it. Sometimes we sing. Sometimes we do actions. Sometimes we might do a drum beat on the table with our hands and say our prayers. But we can talk to God at any time and anywhere. Now, you have learnt a song prayer about many people in the world. So first of all, could some of the helpers find some balloons? And these are for the upstairs Chatterbox children who are then going to go and stand behind me with Tanya. Ben probably wants one. Holly, have you got one?
Yeah.
Good. Go and stand up with Tanya. Just like you do.
Just like you do in Chatterbox.
Now, can you hold those balloons up high? The blue balloons represent the earth and all the people in it. But there are some people in the Jesus family who find it very difficult to be in the Jesus family, and it's not always safe for them. So downstairs, Chatterbox, can you find a balloon that will represent that? Right. I'm going to sit over here because you are going to sing. You are going to sing our prayer today. Are you ready? For Christmas, there are many Christians throughout the world who will not be openly able to praise God, to worship Him, and to prepare and celebrate. So would you please join with the children in singing the song again so that they know that you too will pray for all those people in the Jesus family who are finding it difficult, and also to thank God for those of you that are in the Jesus family. So let's all join together and sing with them. Enjoyed doing your intercessions in a different way today. Now the children are going to go out to Chatterbox, but you've got an important thing to do. Can you give your balloons to an adult to look after while you're in Chatterbox, please? And then we'll go out.
So we're going to think a bit more about the people in the Jesus family, and we're going to sing a song about people, which is quite unusual to be in church. You normally sing about God and to God, but this is a song actually about each other, and it's Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, and it just gives a bit more detail, I guess, to that prayer, which is how actually day to day, and particularly maybe during Advent season, we can be as Christ to these people. So let's stand and sing Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. There was hopefully or maybe someone in mind that you wanted to kind of sing and pray that for. So maybe just in the silence in your own hearts, just bring that person before Christ, and we are praying for peace for them as we journey with them. So just a quick moment just to bring that person before the Lord. Lord, we thank you for community and for relationships. Thank you that it's a privilege to come alongside people and to laugh with them and to weep and to encourage. I want to just bring before you these people on our hearts this morning. And Lord, we speak and we pray peace for them. And give us wisdom and insight as we journey with them. Amen. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him," that's Christ, "for in him," Christ, "all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Just read that again. "For in him," that's Jesus Christ, "all the fullness of the deity," or the Godhead, "lives in bodily form." And that one sentence is quite magnificent. All that God is came to dwell in Christ. And the next song, in a sense, picks up on those sort of differences. How can it be that Jesus is meek and yet he's majestic? Manhood and yet he's God. So we're going to sing Meekness and Majesty. You that in your Son Jesus is the fullness and the completeness of who you are. Praise you, Lord, that that then came to earth for us to give an example and to bring us back to you. That we ask as we wait for Christmas that you would bring us to that place of submission and on our knees in worship. Would you restore to us the wonder and joy of you becoming flesh. Amen. Okay, and then again, a song that kind of speaks of and speaks into the coming and the waiting. In fact, not just of Jesus the first time, but actually coming again. This song is "These Are the Days of Elijah," using sort of biblical characters and what they did when they came to earth, I guess, as forerunners of Christ. But actually, the highlight, I guess, is the chorus of "Behold, He Comes." That's Jesus riding on the cloud. So let's sing These Are the Days of Elijah.
Dear Heavenly Father, at this time when we're all thinking about preparing gifts to give at Christmas, we would just like to offer you back a very small token of everything that is yours anyway. And we just pray, Lord, that this money will be used in a way that is beneficial to your kingdom. We've just talked about or sung about your kingdom coming again. And Father, we just hope that this money will help speed that along. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.
Hey, so, another song. Make way, make way. Please stand, sit if you like, but let's welcome Christ in.
found in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well on in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Shirley. Well, as you've probably gathered, our sermon this morning is about John the Baptist, and my wife likes pictures. She's had to go out to Sunday school, but there's a picture I found of John the Baptist there. And there may be one or two other slides as we go through. The service is entitled Herald for the King. So I'm going to talk a little bit about John and right the way through his life, really. As we've already seen, this Sunday is the start of Advent, which means to come or the coming. It's closely related to the modern word adventure, which could be translated about to happen. When we say we're going on an adventure, we mean we're looking forward to something exciting that is about to happen. I want you to imagine yourselves back about a year before Jesus is born. As far as the Jewish people are concerned, there's been a period of about 400 years when it's been not much has been happening. It's been spiritually dead, if you like. Yet God is about to intervene in human history in a way that has not been seen since the beginning of time. A great adventure that will change history is about to unfold. As with any adventure, good preparation is needed, and God decides that it is John the Baptist who is to do the preparation. He is the one who will be the herald for the coming king. But God also needs to prepare John for the task ahead. And I intend not just to talk about today's passage, but as I said, right the way up to the point where John introduces the Messiah, Jesus, and the start of his ministry. As we go through this together, I want you to look and see how God's hand is in all of it. It's a bit of a history lesson, if you like, but one that we can all learn from. The Bible passage that Shirley read for us was from Luke chapter 1, is only the beginning, but a very important part of John's preparation for his ministry. It starts to give him the street cred, if you like, the credibility, even before he is born, that he will need to carry out the task that God has given for him. So let's have a look at today's passage. I love the many little details that Luke picks out for us. Many scholars think that Luke might well have talked to Mary, the mother of Jesus, when he was researching the Gospels. Of course, Mary was a close relative of Elizabeth, and they spent quite a bit of time together during their pregnancies. So it's quite likely that Luke was able to pick up quite a bit of Elizabeth's story from Mary. So let's look at some of those details. King David divided the priestly tribe, all of whom were descended from Aaron, into 24 divisions. And there you can see the 8th division, Abijah, was the one that Zechariah belonged to. And each one of those divisions probably had around about 1,000 priests in it. So we're talking about a lot of people. So when Zechariah was chosen to by lot, just pouring a straw or something out of a hat, to burn the incense, it was a great honour. It was considered a very great honour and something that may only have happened once during his life, or maybe for some people, not at all. Was the timing really a matter of chance, or was it God's hand in it all along? We're told that Elizabeth and Zechariah were blameless. It does not say that they were without sin, though. Perhaps they were blameless because they kept all the Lord's regulations, especially with regard to sin offerings. Remember, that's the way they kept themselves pure, if you like, by doing lots of offerings one after the other. So that's probably why they were considered blameless. More importantly, both were upright in the sight of God, which I take to mean that their hearts were right with God. God chose the righteous rather than the great and famous to be John's parents. When the angel Gabriel told Zechariah his wife would have a baby, Zechariah found it hard to believe because Elizabeth was barren and beyond the menopause. But Zechariah should have known that God occasionally uses barren birth to show that nothing is impossible for him, as he had done for several of his important servants before. Think about Isaac, Jacob, Samuel, and Samson. All of them had similar starts to their lives. The angel Gabriel told that John was not to take wine or any other fermented drink. Traditionally, this would have included, believe it or not, grape juice and vinegar, even though neither of them contained alcohol. Was this to indicate that John was to be a Nazarite, someone who was dedicated in a special way to God? Samson and possibly Samuel were also considered to be Nazarites. Finally, John was to be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth, and therefore have the power to turn many in Israel back to God in the same way that Elijah had done nearly 1,000 years before. Normally, it would have only taken a few minutes for Zechariah to top up the incense burner in the temple, but he was far too long a time there, and when he came out, he could not speak, but it was clear that he'd had the most extraordinary experience. It turns out that he'd had an encounter with the angel Gabriel. God's intervention is becoming more and more obvious to everybody around. Now let's jump forward 9 months. Elizabeth has indeed miraculously become pregnant and produced a baby boy. It's now the 8th day, and he has to be circumcised according to the Old Testament law. Everyone assumes that his name would be Zechariah, but Elizabeth says no, his name is to be John. Those involved, of course, were surprised, and so they asked Zechariah what he wanted, and he wrote on a tablet, "His name is John," and to everyone's astonishment, he was immediately able to speak. We're told that people were filled with awe, and the news spread around the whole region, again setting a story. People were expecting something special of John. Not only that, but Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to praise God and to offer some words of prophecy, which are also recorded in Luke chapter 1. And they go like this. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for the Lord, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace." The final verse of that chapter 1 says, "And the child grew and became strong in the spirit and lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel." We know very little about John in the intervening years, except Matthew tells us that his clothes were made of camel hair, he had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. However, given all the amazing things around the time of his birth, I'm sure that people kept an eye on John and were expecting to see what was going to happen next. What we do know very precisely, because Luke has done his homework, is that John started his public ministry in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. In other words, 29 AD, just a few months or maybe a year before Jesus starts his ministry. In Matthew chapter 3, we can pick up John's story. Verse 1, "In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, who said, 'A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the path for him.'" And then in Matthew chapter 3 again, continuing from verse 5, we hear, "People went out to John from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children from Abraham. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Apart from the Gospels, we do have a couple of other glimpses of this period in John's ministry. He's mentioned by Josephus, who was a famous historian of around about that time, so an independent witness, if you like. But also by Luke again, in Acts chapter 18. It seems that Apollos, that we read about in Acts chapter 18, had probably been baptized by John and was now preaching in Ephesus about Jesus. He was doing a good job as far as it goes, but he obviously didn't know the full story. Priscilla and Aquila, friends of Paul and early missionaries, heard Apollos and then helped teach him what he did not know to help him fill in the gaps. John is, of course, known as John the Baptist. Baptism, as we know it, seems to have been started with John. There was some sort of baptism, a form of baptism as a form of cleansing before that, probably, but not in the once and for all form in which John was now preaching. Now let's continue in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' So John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. A voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, to whom I am well pleased.'" To finish the story, let's jump to John chapter 1, verse 35, and see that apart from Apollos, a more direct example of how John was pointing people to Jesus. "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and said, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had to say and who followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. The rest, as we say, is history, and a very exciting one too." So let's see what sort of lessons we can learn from that story. God used John to carefully prepare the way for Jesus, but also had a plan to prepare John for the job from even before he was born. He was set aside in a very special way, and people knew that by all the things that had happened to him. And for us, whatever job God has for us, we can be sure that he will prepare us to carry out that job, so we would not worry about our ability. God will look after that. Now, just as a little aside, we had our small group meeting last Wednesday, and at the end, Judith, my wife, gave everybody a little yellow slip of paper like this and asked them to write something on it, a word of encouragement. And then we put them all into a hat and drew them out, and so we all had somebody else's word of encouragement. And just bearing in mind what I've just said about God prepares us for the jobs he wants us to do. This is what I drew by chance out of that hat. And it says, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. God will provide. Isn't that amazing? I'd already written this by then, the sermon, and yet I got that. God does indeed provide. We may not be a herald of Jesus's first coming like John was, but in a sense, we have all been given the task of being a herald for his second coming. And we have a particularly golden opportunity at this time of year around Christmas. Everybody's interested in Christmas one way or another, whether they're religious or not. And so we've got a golden opportunity to approach people because they're going to be more open to some of the things that we might say. So just think of yourselves as being John the Baptist for Jesus' second coming. And finally, believers' baptism is something that God instigated via the Holy Spirit through John. And then it was reinforced by Jesus undertaking it himself. And clearly, it was very pleasing to God. So just a thought for some of you, if you are a believer and you haven't been baptized, just wonder whether it's the right time for you to be baptized in the near future. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the adventure of Advent, a time of preparation to recall the birth of your Son Jesus. Thank you also that you are prepared and equipped each one of us for the jobs you want us to do in sharing your good news. May we have ears that are open to your calling, whatever that may be, and have the courage to follow that through. Finally, if anyone here is being led to think of baptism, give them the courage to share this with somebody today. Amen. And as it's Advent, I think it'd be good to sing O Come Emmanuel. I'm sure you all know it, but a very famous Advent hymn. as a benediction, I'm just going to take the last couple of verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of the Sunday and a really good week. Thank you.